Lesson this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 5. Bless you. And we're reading of Naaman healing, being healed from leprosy. And we're just reading a few verses, starting with verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to say to Naaman, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And the gospel lesson is Luke chapter 10. We read of Jesus sending out the 72, not just the 12, but as more disciples were formed, he then sent them out. So Luke chapter 10, and we'll be reading just the first 6 verses. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And so the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And this week at the men's prayer group, and George was there, so he can attest to what happened at the men's prayer group, McDonald's, Route 9, Route 30, and this is actually the second time we saw something like this. There was an incident, we'll call that an incident. We're about to pray. It's always when we're about to pray, George, right? We're about to pray, and a man walks in. He doesn't look like he's too irate, and he kind of looks. He's got sunglasses on. He's about 40 years old. He walks in. He kind of walks in with a purpose, and he kind of is walking in. He really, I didn't see his eyes, but he really locked eyes with me. He just stared right at me, and then went right up to the counter, and after a few seconds, he took the sandwich that he had in his hand, and he didn't just toss it. He went like this. He wound up and threw that sandwich at the worker there, and we know her. Her name is Lily. And just missed her head, and he storms back out. Now, she follows him, and we witness all of this. She follows him, and you can't do that. And she stands in the way, so he can't back up. So it was scary for a little bit. Anyways, he maneuvered his way and took off. She got his license, and he was stopped on Route 9. And we were there, and we talked to Lily. We ended up praying with her, asking the Holy Spirit to come into the situation. We stood there, right at the counter. All of us, we held hands. We knew Lily was Christian. And it was just sad for her because clearly it was like the straw that broke the camel's back for this man. We don't know what else was going on in his life, but we know it wasn't the sandwich, right? Let's just say it was not the sandwich that put him over the edge. And so we prayed that Lily could just know that God's with her. because she gets disrespected a lot. A lot of workers, a lot of servant workers at restaurants, food service folks get, you know, you get impatient. And we all said, you know, we could relate that he maybe got something that he didn't order going through drive-through. There was a miscommunication or whatever. But he lost his cool. And now he's probably going to go to court where he could have easily said, I'm sorry about that. And so the reason why I bring this up is that when I read the harvest is plentiful, that's what we were reading when this all happened. The harvest is plentiful. This man is part of the harvest. We would like to think, now we don't always do it, that if we have Jesus in our heart and we want it, we feel temptation rising up, we wouldn't throw a sandwich, right? If we were frustrated, we call on the name of the Lord, we call on the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me be who you want me to be in this situation. But we know that all fall short of the glory of God, and in a sense, we're no different than this man. And even in the prayer, George, right? And in the middle of the prayer, the Holy Spirit said, pray for this man. And we're praying for the woman who he accosted, that he offended, that he disrespected. I believe she understood. We just said a simple prayer, Lord, be with this man who would do such a thing. What possessed him? We don't know. What's going on in his life? We don't know. But when you let Christ in your heart, you even have empathy for someone like this. And so the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. I want to invite you to be a worker, to raise your hand and say, I want it when we leave that we go forth like the 72 and we're called to represent. Amen? Now, we'd always do that. But so often what we do is that we don't share the word of God. We don't let people know this is what God has done in my life. But the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful because there are so many hurting people. Wouldn't you say? Would you nod your head with me? You don't have to wonder that the harvest is planted. There's so many people that are hurting that don't know the love of Christ, the love of God. And we're supposed to embody it and bring it out and share it. And it's interesting. People know what ripe means, right? You know what ripe is when you think of the analogy of fruit. People are ripe to hear that God loves them and that they're not alone. You often think, well, I won't have the words or I can't do what. Basically, it's just have compassion. The other gospel of Matthew, where the same words are said by Jesus, he looks at the crowd and you hear what Jesus is thinking. The word of God says that he saw the people and his heart went out to them. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So the first thing is to be a worker, as few as they are, is you have to have compassion for people and ask God to work through you to look at them like Jesus does. Sounds simple, right? But it's not. To get outside of yourself and just love like Jesus loves. That's difficult to do. That's why there's so many few. Because we think energy will be expended and we have only so much love. I used to think that you only had so much love to give. And you're just like, I'm wrung out. But when you are connected to the vine, that love is endless. You have endless love for endless people if you're connected to the source of love. Amen? And you're filled to overflowing with this love, so it's really God through you. And so I ask you to think about what this scripture means for us today. I invite you to be one of the few who will go forth. And it's interesting, this week we're leaving on Appalachia Service Project, and there are a number of us that don't take showers every day. Aaron knows about it, right? How many ASPs have you been on? I mean, her brother Sean was famous to wear the same shirt the whole week. It was the thinnest shirt, exactly, I don't know how many years that he went on. The same shirt was razor thin. He barely, and he didn't take a lot of showers. And we said, let's be stinky this week. Let's be ripe. Because he ever said, you're ripe. Wow. Well, it's interesting because you go on ASP, 167 of us that will go, and you just go and you love and you serve and you don't expect anything in return. You're just all giving and it's contagious. And all of a sudden, your cup is being filled because you're being used by God to do great things. It's a paradox. The other voice will say, don't do that. You have enough problems on your own. Think of yourself. But the word of God from Jesus' mouth says, be other-centered. And all of your needs will be set, will be met. And it happens on this week of service, and it's so filled with joy. Even though we might be hot and stinky, and it's not comfortable, and it's not easy, as we do home repair, It's going to be in the upper 80s and very humid. We'll be under trailers. We'll be where bugs and spiders, and I don't know how many times one week I got stung by bees. Me and John Volpe, probably 20 times stung by bees. We were doing a roof in the hot sun. I just remember him doing the flashing around a chimney and him just sweating and just disgusting and being stung by bees. And he's like, isn't this great? I'm like, Brother John, it is. Because we got to know a woman by the name of Alice who just loved on us all week. Loved on us. Today I invite you to be a worker. Even if you're the only one, you be the person that's going to be filled. And if you read it, if we go to the next slide, Tom, if we read what Jesus says, he says, go. He doesn't say, stay. He says, go. The book we're reading this week is, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the week, get out of the boat. It's our book study. It starts Tuesday. You come at 6:30, 7:30. Peter walked on water because he got out of the boat. The rest watched him do that. It was a risk. He might have sank, and he did sink, but when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he made a few steps. Jesus says, go. Go out on faith. Do something that is uncomfortable. And that is stepping towards somebody. That's an uncomfortable thing to do, and it might not be your nature, but God says, I will be with you. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That means it's not easy. There are predators out there. Not everybody will be open to the word of God or toward love. There'll be those who say, get out of my face. But you're sowing seeds of love and faith, and some will stick. It says, don't take a bag or a purse or even sandals. Meaning, don't you love when you pack light? Don't you love it? Don't you hate that when you overpack on a journey and you're lugging luggage around? Don't you love just walking out? Jesus said, I don't want you to be weighed down with the burdens of this world. I don't want you to be weighed down by your worries and your anxiety. Pack light. Don't pack anything. Just bring yourself. You don't have to have anything else. Just you is all I need. And you feel free when you do it. Because nothing in this world is what people need except someone to care for them. It's that simple. And then the next says, well, and that one too, it says, bring peace. When you come to the house, say peace to this house. You're bringing the peace that passes understanding. Peace that shines through you, that someone will say, how can you be at peace when you're going through such turmoil in your life? And you get to say, I have the peace of Christ in my heart. I believe that in the end, it's going to be okay. Amen? You bring that to the house. You bring peace. And the word shalom that we looked at a couple weeks ago, it means inner completeness and tranquility. In fact, in Israel today, when you say, it's kind of like aloha when you say shalom. It means goodbye or hello or peace. But you literally are saying to someone, may you be full of well-being. And that's what the harvest is. There's so many people that don't feel well-being. You're bringing a peace that they can partake of. And the next thing is, and we read it, says you can be a healing force in the world. And that really what it is. It's bring peace. First have the heart of compassion, the heart of Christ. Let your heart go out to people. Then bring peace, the peace of Christ. Then bring healing. And let people know that God is near. The kingdom of God is not a faraway thing. It's right here, right now. God is with us. And when you do that, you're saying God's within you to be with someone who's hurting. And this past week, we had a service right here for someone that I knew, Jesse Bergman. He died at the age of 36. And Jesse didn't have the easiest of lives. He battled diabetes, he battled alcoholism, and he had a mental illness. He had medication, didn't always take it. But I knew Jesse since junior high. He came 3 years to Rolling Ridge to the junior high rally camp. And I got to know him as a person with a huge heart. And I share that with you because as difficult as his life was and how tragic it was that he died at the age of 36 suddenly, years ago, 20 plus years ago at this junior high camp, he opened his heart to God. And he accepted that his sins were forgiven and that he believed that he could be at peace. He believed that he could be a healing agent into the world. And when he died, he believed that God was with him. Amen? There's nothing greater than that. And I look back and I just think about how important it is, camping ministries, but that my brother and I and another pastor, when we were leading this junior high camp, we don't know how this is going to touch people's hearts and souls, but Jesse was this. He was wide open. And it's the same with another person, Dodds Wicker, 102 years old, who died this past July 4th. And I went over her house on Sunday, and we sang hymns together, and she was mouthing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." She was preparing to be with the Lord. And whether you're 36 or 102, in comparison to eternity, it's a short life, right? Whether you're Jesse or Dot, the comfort and the peace that comes to know that there's a place prepared for you, there's nothing greater. And we're called to share that with people. And both Jesse and Dot were people that were other-centered in their lives. Even, in fact, one time a couple years ago, because when you're 100 years old, you don't think of a lot of, like Gene Kalman, who lived to 122 years old, the oldest person that ever lived. When she was asked, "What do you think your future will be?" she said, "Short," was their answer. But so a couple years ago, when Dot was struggling through a difficult time, she was in bed and she was feeling pain and discomfort, and she couldn't talk too well, and we thought it was going to be her time. And she was saying something. I couldn't hear, and I leaned down. I said, "What is that, Dot?" And she said, "How's Jason? I've been praying for him." And Jason, someone that we know and love, who is such a fighter against cancer and against his other ailments, and he's got two little boys and a wonderful wife. He lives across the street. And the first thought in Dot's mind at 100 years old was Jason, because she's been praying for him. And you know what that helped Dot face? Because even up to the very end, you know, she played Rummy Cube the night before she died. And she touched Gene Rinker's heart and June Murray's heart every week when they would come together and play Rummy Cube. In fact, I believe the game Rummy Cube is going to go with her in the casket. But all of her life, Dot is a shining example of a worker for Jesus being other-focused. Amen? And so I remind you today how important it is to understand that you're called to be sent forth. And all you have to do is say yes. God will use you. Now, my cousin, I remember when I started preaching in 1986, she gave me a needlepoint that said that working for the Lord doesn't pay much, but the retirement plan is out of this world, is the saying. But I wanted to remind you that being a pastor is not an easy thing, right? You enter into difficult times with people, joyful times too, but difficult, heart-wrenching, broken-hearted times. And it's the same for any Christian. It's not just a pastor's job to step toward hurting people. It's every person who's given their life to Jesus. And I want to remind you of that, how important that is. And that you let God use you. Naaman, who was healed, wanted it his way. He said, "Can Elijah just raise, in a sense, just wave a wand and make me better and say a prayer over me?" And Elijah said, "No, you got to go to Jordan River and wash 7 times. He said, "Aren't the rivers in Syria just as good as the rivers in Israel?" How dare he say, and his servants, he was the captain of the guard for the king of Syria, not of the nation of Israel. He was a Gentile. And they said, "You know, if he asked you to do some great quest, wouldn't you do it? Then go wash." And he did. And he washed 7 times and he came out. And literally, this is where "you have skin like a baby" came from. Because he came out with skin like a boy. Because he humbled himself and submitted to what God said. And we don't do that. We think, "Well, I want God to answer my prayer my way." But when you're called, you say, "I surrender." Like when we go on ASP, we go with no judgment. We don't go with any judgment. We go with sensitivity for the people right where they are. We love them right where they are and right who they are. And it works. And so as Naaman submitted, we can do the same. And that at the same time as we give and we serve, we end up being at peace and healing. and we feel God near, it's a two-way street. We're never in a place where we say, well, once I'm okay, then I'll reach out in the name of Jesus. It's hand in hand. There's never a Sunday when you're not hurting in some way, and there's never a Sunday where you can't connect with somebody and love them and care for them. So I read a story this week that was really fascinating for me. It's from the early 1800s. There was a French-born Quaker minister, Stephen Grillet. And he was one of the best-known Quakers. He preached to thousands and all around. But one day he was in prayer and he felt God grab his heart. And God called him to take a long journey into the American backwoods to preach to the woodcutters. And at that point, woodcutting was a very isolating profession. And he heard God say, go in there and preach to those lonely men. And filled with compassion, he started his journey out into the woods. And he felt drawn to a specific spot in the backcountry that he had been to before. And he felt certain that God was calling him to go and preach the good news. And so he went. And when he got there, though, everybody was gone. Everybody was devoid of human presence. It had been abandoned. They had moved on deeper into the forest. But he said, first, maybe I made a mistake, but God worked on his heart again and said to Grillet, preach, give your message. It's not yours, it's my message. And so he walked around, he found a large wooden hut, and he walked inside, and he turned around, and he faced the entrance and began to preach, and he preached as if the place was packed with hundreds of people, and he spoke about the love of God being the greatest thing in the world, and he spoke about how sin builds a wall between humans and God, and that this wall is thrown down in Jesus Christ, and he spoke about how the love of God triumphs everything. And he just collapsed in exhaustion. He went down to a nearby stream. He got some water. He had a little bread that he brought along with him. He ate that. He never saw any woodcutters at all. But he felt a peace in his spirit that he had been faithful to what God had called him to do. And it's a true story. Stephen Grillet. And so years later, he's in London, walking across London Bridge, when a man just grabs onto his arm and said, it's you. Finally, at last, I found you. And Grillet says, I think you got the wrong guy. I don't know you. You're a stranger. And he says, no, I'm not. I've been looking for you across the globe, and I'm not mistaken. You're the man from the woods. And it turns out that Stephen Grillet wasn't entirely alone that day when he visited the woodcutter's encampment. The man standing before him told him about how he returned to the encampment because he forgot a tool that he needed. And as he was retrieving it, he heard Grillet's voice booming from the wooden hut at the center of the camp. And as he preached, the woodcutter was intrigued, and he came over and he looked through the crack in the wall and he listened to the message. And he found that the gospel message shone through the cracks of his heart. And by the time Stephen Grillet left the camp, this man's life had been changed forever. And he heard the message of the gospel. He felt miserable, how he was living, and he was convicted of a sin that was separating him from the love of God. And so he confessed and repented, and he gave his life to Christ. Eventually got a hold of a Bible, and he began discovering the way of Jesus. And at first, all the other woodcutters that he witnessed to made fun of him. They laughed at him. But the man's faith was infectious, his love, his joy. And he said, it's share and share alike in the forest. And I told the man about the gospel just like you told me. And he said, I gave them no peace till everyone was brought home to God. Three of them went out to preach to other districts. At least 1,000 people had been brought home to the Good Shepherd by that sermon of yours, which you preached to nobody. Can I hear an amen? So I'm only telling you this as we prepare for Holy Communion, that never doubt the impact of your witness and your sharing and your walk of faith. Amen? Whether it's Jesse impacting me or Dot Zwicker impacting me, trust that God can use you to bring in the harvest. Amen? Bring people into the love of God. And so let's bow our heads. I want to show you a loaf of bread. We're going to ask a blessing. We thank Peter Ballantyne, who makes homemade bread for us every first of the month for Holy Communion. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And he does this with love, really. He makes two loaves, one for the 9, one for the 10:45 crossroads. And he believes in what the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, does for us. And the body of Christ, broken for us, heals our wounds and saves us from our hopelessness and sin. It's the same old message, right? Whether you throw a sandwich at someone or not, right? Whether you lost control this week and did something that you wish you could change, or maybe you had a good week and you embodied that love, we all need forgiveness of sins. You know what people are hungry for and what the harvest is? People are right to hear that God forgives them. Do you know that there's someone right now in earshot of what I'm saying is hearing the word of God, that God can free them from their mistakes? It could be an older person that's been living with something. It could be a younger person. They just don't think that they're lovable and they could be loved so much that God would give his son. But they're maybe trusting today. They're giving in a little bit. God's calling them. They're harvesting, being harvested into the body of Christ. That maybe today with Holy Communion, when they come up, they receive the gift of salvation. Like Dot did and Jesse did, that they can for the first time experience forgiveness of sin. Jesus looked at his friends, the disciples, in the light of the upper room, and he loved them. They didn't understand, but he loved them. They were a motley crew, just like us. And he looked at them, and he loved all over them, even though he knew that it would be only later would they understand when he rose from the dead. But in that moment, he loved them, and he took the bread when they celebrated Passover, and he took the bread. He gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks. "This is the fruit of the vine since the creation of the earth, and God supplies us. But he said, this night, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink it as often as you shall for the forgiveness of sins." And so today we do the same. We ask a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, bless this bread and this cup, that it would be your body and blood for us today. As you harvest us, as your love, your grace brings us home, that we can know the forgiveness of our sins, that we can know healing and peace and hope and joy, that your word would be preached today, that you would send us out, that we would embody your grace for other people who are hurting. And our hearts will be expanded with empathy for the worst sinner. For you died for all, and all can be forgiven of sins. And so we ask you to bless us in our prayers today. We thank you that you hear them, that you are with us, you are near. As we pray your prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we have an open communion. All are welcome. You don't have to know everything about the Bible or theology or even whether you believe in God or not. It's like going over someone's house and they have a nameplate for you, right? Jeff goes over someone's house. "Jeff Ward, it's so good to see you. Come on in. We have a place for you." And then he's served a most delicious meal. You think Jeff's going to say, "Now, good"? He's digging in. He's digging in. Amen. And I hope you do the same spiritually today. You're welcome. You are welcome to the table, the banquet of God's saving love. So we'll need a couple helpers with the waiting hall. Would you come up and help me with serving of Holy Communion? And we are blessed to have all gluten-free bread so that all can partake.
one we call the head of our trustees, Robert Martin. He's sitting in the back. He's going to come help as well. And we also need one more soul. And I'm staring at him very happy. Would you come up and help serve Holy Communion today? So we'll have two stations, left and right. Take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup. Mary's coming on the ASP trip, and he said, "You ready for this week?" And I said, "Ready or not, we're going. We're getting in the vans, we're going." So please come forward and receive forgiveness of your sin by partaking of the body and blood of Christ. Coming to the edge, to the ends of the church, Marilyn and Jeff will guide you forward. Come and receive and be blessed. Amen.